This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Can martial arts be used to harness the potential of differently abled children? Khaldun Reza, a former world taekwondo champion, and Eric Koo, a martial arts instructor, are here with me to explain how martial arts can be used to develop life skills, self-esteem, and to fill a gap in our special needs education curriculum. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Before we get into the therapy part of martial arts, could you tell us a little bit about what got you personally interested in martial arts in the first place?
Well, wow, that's a long story. We'll have time. But yeah, well, in a nutshell, I started martial arts training way back when I was in school at the age of 14. Right, and was by accident actually. One of my friends in class signed me up for the taekwondo sessions being conducted in the school, and I had no choice but to join. Otherwise, I would get penalized by the headmaster. And it's been 40 years now, and there was no looking back ever since. You know, I'm the last person to still be practicing martial arts from that batch. So that's how it all began for me. For Eric, well,
I started in 1985, just looking for something to do, and I got into it and I was hooked. And actually, we share the same instructor and mentor, Grandmaster Yao Cheng Wat, up to this day. And further to that, I've also tried Hapkido and other martial arts. It's become of a hobby for me.
Basically, that's it. Yeah, martial arts has always been a passion and a hobby for us. It was only, I think, in the last 8 years, because we have never prior to this ever thought of martial arts or to be a teacher, let alone a martial arts instructor. Yeah. It was only after, in the last 8 years, when we felt that, you know, we wanted to share and impart all the experience and all the knowledge that we had in martial arts, you know, and that's when we started teaching.
How have you both personally felt martial arts shape your life skills or your life philosophy? I mean, because if it's something that you want children to be a part of, you know, surely you must have felt its difference in your own lives.
That's right. Okay. Well, martial arts has benefited me tremendously. All right. It is a critical or crucial part of my growth and upbringing or development, if you like, particularly where the values and the principles of martial arts are concerned. I try as best as possible to lead my life according to the values that have been taught to me, the values of respect, courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control. And that is what I think martial arts is all about. It's not so much the techniques of kicking and punching and defending yourself or fighting. You know, I think that is basically just essentials or exercises that leads to you embodying or learning these techniques, these values. Sorry.
Right? Yes. I myself, in particular, I was a very shy kid and very awkward, and martial arts helped me to open up, so mix and socialize as well. That's right.
What then inspired the move from martial arts into martial arts instruction into seeing that it could work for special needs education?
Okay, that's another long story. I mean, it's going to take about 20 minutes to answer.
No, it
that.
Hasn't been that long. Don't worry. Okay. Take your time.
All right. I think. You know, it was more like a natural development of progression, if you like, for us, right? You see, as I mentioned, martial arts has always been a passion and a hobby for us. And despite having practiced it for 40 years for me and maybe 20 over years, 25 years for Eric, we had never ever thought about teaching or let alone becoming martial arts instructors. It was only over the last 8 years that we had both decided that it was time for us to come out and to share and impart whatever knowledge and experience that we had in the hope that it would help students, specifically in particular children, right, to discover the beauty of martial arts and to explore, realize, and perhaps maximize their full potential, and in so doing empower them to be more focused, more balanced, confident, and hence be able to have better control of their circumstances or to lead better lives, if you like. You know? So that has always been our aim all along.
Yes.
The aim of our classes is to focus on the values of martial arts in helping children or individuals to empower themselves so that they can then have better control of circumstances and conditions to enrich their lives or to lead better lives. And that was mainly what led us into special needs martial arts, you know. So it's all part of a natural progression. So it's not like a decision that, okay, let's go and do special needs. Or, you know, it's not like a movement of any sort. It's just a natural development.
Yeah,
We wanted an avenue where we could contribute and make a difference. And martial arts is that for us.
How is martial arts therapy, you know, in its therapeutic form, different from practice? Because I think people have a very set idea of what it would be like to enter a space where martial artists are practicing.
Okay.
You know, there are drills, there are kicks, these different things. When it takes its therapeutic form, when you're working with children, for example, is it the same? You know, are you guys very tough drill masters? Or
you can be. Yeah, we can be. But you see, that's the thing. It's good that you brought that up, Lynn, you know, because martial arts in its classical or traditional form, as you know, entails drills and exercises and all that, all right? Martial arts therapy is basically the same thing, only the approach is different, all right, the approach. Martial arts therapy uses martial arts principles, exercises, drills, and values, you know, to help the student become better in almost all aspects of their lives. It's a holistic thing. It's not just going in, you know. It's different from conventional martial arts that teaches self-defense, for example, or teaches students how to fight or spar or break stuff and all that, you know. Martial arts therapy goes against that. You know, we are non-hostile. It's non-aggressive. It's non-violent. Mm-hmm. It helps students empower or overcome or cope with their limitations through martial arts exercises, drills, and training. So, yeah, in that sense, yes, we can be strict disciplinarians as well, but when the situation requires it, yes.
Do you ever have students who, you know, enter feeling a little bit intimidated and needing a bit more time to get used to the idea that they're going to be doing martial arts therapy?
Yeah, I think, most of the time they are apprehensive as to what they're going to get into. But once they are comfortable, and we try to make them as comfortable as possible by bringing them around and, allowing them to check out the equipment, and once they feel comfortable, I think they settle in very quickly.
I think for not only for children, for anyone, particularly so for those with special needs, you know, a new environment, new surrounding always frightens them and intimidates them. So the initial stage is always about connecting and developing communication with the child. That will take perhaps a month or so, right, where we have established the rapport, the connection with them. Only then we will move into the exercise routines to see, you know, which exercises suit what particular problem or issues. So yes, they all will feel the same. Even adults, like, for that matter.
Yes, yeah? Yes, adults as well.
Yeah, starting something new can be frightening.
It is.
Yeah.
It always is, you know.
Zen Master Academy is the first center of its kind to use martial arts therapy for special needs children in the country. Is there an awareness among the public about the use of martial arts as a form of therapy?
Awareness currently?
It is a popular form of rehabilitative or therapeutic intervention in the West. In America, in Europe, in Australia, even in New Zealand, you know, there's a special needs martial arts association, right? But in Malaysia, it is still very new. lots of doctors and lots of therapists do suggest and recommend to their clients or their patients to go for martial arts, but most martial arts centers offer conventional or classical or traditional martial arts, right? They do not look at it from the therapeutic point of view, you know, so they don't actually incorporate martial art therapy techniques or exercises, you know. The focus is different. The emphasis and the objective is different. So in that sense, because it is new, the level of awareness in Malaysia is still at a low. But having said that, I think level of awareness for special needs in general in Malaysia is still at a very low, low level. You know, lots has to be done for people here to recognize and to understand and accept, you know, to create more awareness for special needs. Yeah?
I'm speaking today with martial arts instructors Khaldun Reza and Eric Hu. We're talking about martial arts therapy for special needs children. Up next, we find out, you know, how to kind of fit the practice to the child, as well as whether this therapy would be suitable for all children. If you've got any questions, do send them in. The number to text is 016-201-9000. You can also reach us by tweeting at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. You are listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today, martial arts instructors Khaldun Reza and Eric Koo. We're talking about martial arts therapy for special needs children. So we've covered what martial arts therapy can achieve, you know, how you guys got interested in it. And I'm curious, how do you see martial arts therapy filling the gap in the current approach to special needs education? You know, where does it come into the picture?
All right. Okay. Now, if you've noticed, Linnea, over the last 40 over years, there's been a deluge of therapeutic methodologies and modalities, you know, appearing. What it calls all sorts, massage therapy, hypnotherapy, and so on and so forth. Okay, and what do you call this? It can be very confusing, especially for parents. Right? But martial arts therapy is related to movement therapy, and there are not many therapeutical forms that involves movement therapy. You know, you've got dance therapy, which is very expressive, and you've got hypnotherapy or horse riding therapy, swimming, gym, and all that. And martial arts fits into that particular category. But all children with special needs. Movement. They need to exercise. You know, they need movement, and movement helps them develop balance, gross and fine motor movement. It helps them be more focused and calmer, and it helps them stay fit. You see, so they all need that. And martial arts therapy fills in that particular gap through its exercises, and it helps them learn to cope and control their weaknesses, or to exploit their own strengths. They discover, once they learn their own strengths and they discover their own strengths, then they develop a sense of self-esteem, confidence, and greater independence in the outside world. So martial arts therapy is just a supplementary or an alternative therapy that fits into the movement therapy category, if you like.
We've been using the phrase martial arts to, you know, just kind of cover as an umbrella term, but there are a lot of forms of martial arts out there, and they each have their own unique philosophy and practice. So when a child comes for martial arts therapy, what martial art are we talking about? You know, how do you decide, oh, this child looks more like a taekwondo child, you know, or so on and so forth?
Okay, speaking on our behalf, our foundation is Taekwondo, and we feel that we use Taekwondo as the basis of our therapy, and for special needs children, I think of course we cannot adapt the full syllabus of Taekwondo, which is practiced by normal children, for this kids, so we customize to fit their requirements. Mm. Yes,
I think if I can just add on to that, yes. Right, if you don't mind. You see, that's the thing, you see, Lynn. You, when you're saying martial arts therapy, it is martial arts in the broad sense, okay? It's not specific as in what martial arts, kung fu, taekwondo, judo, silat, karate, aikido, and, or muay thai, right? So all martial arts, to us, share the same universal goals and principles. It's basically taking all those goals, principles, and exercises and drills and reshaping it, revising and adapting that into a syllabus and curriculum, and using the best of all that to help these individuals. So it doesn't really matter. I mean, you can opt for wushu or what, tapi, but sorry, at the end of the day, you know, it is about the goal and the approach is about making a change or enriching their lives. It is not the form or the movement. That is secondary to me and to Eric, yes. I think. Yeah.
What can students expect to learn when they enroll in a program then? Take me through it. You know, if I am bringing a child to the center, what can my child expect to learn?
Okay. You want to? Okay. Yeah. You've been speaking a lot. But, all right. So, yeah. In the initial stages, as I said, it is important that we develop communication and connection with the child so that the child knows what they call this, and allow the child to, or the individual to have a feel of what's of their surrounding and environment so that they're a bit calmer and able to follow instructions. And then we will immediately start with the traditional bowing and respect for the masters or the instructors, and that develops social interaction. It's a social exercise, you know, where I show respect for another person. And at the end of the day, some parents, they see the children bowing and they feel, wow, you know, that's a huge improvement for my child. Staying at attention, chariot and bowing, kyonge, and so on. And after that, prior to that, during the evaluation period, Eric and I would have sat down with the child, spent about an hour to find out what are the areas that the child needs to, you know, or the individual needs help with. And we would also discuss with the parents. This is during the evaluation and Q&A session. And to see what areas that the parents would like to improve on. And then we will customize and personalize the exercises accordingly to help them with either increased focus or increased balance and coordination, self-control, muscular strength and development, health and fitness, sensory integration, motor movement, cognitive development, all different areas. So not... there is no one fixed way. Every child is different. Every individual is different. We need to sit down and we need to take a look at the individual and see what is the what does the individual need, what are his weaknesses and strengths, and what are the exercises and programs to suit that person. That is why we develop what is known as an individualized training plan. Okay, and that is what the parents can expect. And at every stage, the parents will be involved totally in the child's development. We will sit down, we will discuss, we will monitor, and if the child is ready from one stage, then the child progresses to the next stage and so on and so forth. This is very important. This is something which I feel is lacking in most schools, in fact, or special needs institutions, where there is no communication between the teachers or the school with the parents. We need that feedback. The parents would know. And so far, we have been getting very positive responses from the parents.
Yes.
The parents have said that they have seen very clear improvements in different areas of the child's life. So I think you can expect that. And eventually, it will all lead to greater independence, greater self-confidence and self-esteem and motivation for the child, who feels that, you know, and you know, life in a world that I do not understand is totally tough, you know. And but here in this center, everyone is special, and we treat everyone differently, and we recognize your circumstances or the confusion you're going through, and we try to reach out and bring you out, you know, through martial arts. So that's the difference between martial arts therapy and conventional therapy.
Yeah, I think the values we impart are also very important, right? And I think some parents have said that the child is more respectable, and I think exercise more self-control and things like that.
They feel more motivated.
Motivated,
they look forward
yes.
to coming for yeah. classes. You know, they're happier people. I think, you know, we have got a wide range of conditions. We've got microcephaly, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, mild cerebral palsy, dyslexia, autism, ADHD, Asperger's. You know, I've got one particular. We've got one particular child, Asperger. His parents brought him to us when he was 9 years old. This was about 7 years ago, and it was really tough in the beginning because he was very withdrawn, shy, unfocused, and uncoordinated. But with proper guidance, love, and care, he's today. He's a 17-year-old young lad who just who's achieved his black belt. In Taekwondo, you know, he's got autism and Asperger. His name is Afif Zahiruddin, a black belt in Taekwondo. And last weekend, the organization we are attached to, which is the Malaysian International Taekwondo Federation, held a coaching course at the Institute Sukan Negara, and we sent Afif. And I think he's the first autism, Asperger, or special needs black belt to graduate with a coaching certificate in Malaysia. They say, so wow, you know, that. I think the parents are happy, the parents are proud, and to us, that's it, you know. And we have another child, very aggressive, ADHD and autism, who was very very aggressive. He couldn't control his emotions. He would hit people, hit friends, family, and all that. And the parents brought him to us and for 2 months. And after 2 months, he sent us a video of him reciting the tenets of Taekwondo, you know, the tenets of Taekwondo: courtesy, integrity, perseverance, self-control, indomitable spirit, in his language, in his broken language. It's not very verbal. He sent us a video on that, and that almost brought us to tears, because that is what we are here for, to make that difference, nothing more.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Did
yes,
I say that correctly?
Yes, yes.
I think so. Okay. Right.
Are lessons given on a one-to-one basis, or do they learn together in groups, or is it a mixture of two?
Okay, we start individually. It's normally two instructors to one child, and we determine the progress of the child. If he is capable of being inducted into a group, then we will move him to a group for social interaction. Mm. Yes, and we find that it is very good when they are able to interact with others, and they begin to accept each other as, you know,
Equals and all
yes.
that. Yeah, so yeah. In addition, extending to that, yes, we have three different programs. The individual training program, where the two instructors to one child or one individual. 1 hour once a week, and we have also got the group sessions, maximum 5 students to 3 instructors. All right. So normally they start off with us on an individual basis. After a couple of months, they're okay. We try as far as possible to push them into a group setting where they get to interact and socialize and learn social cues and all that with others, learn language and communication with others. And if they excel in that area, then we'll absorb them into an inclusive setting. It's all about inclusive inclusion now, you know, where they will train with typical students. And that happens every Sunday. All right. So for the typical students, it teaches them more acceptance and awareness. And for the special needs person, it tells him that, look, I can now train alongside normal people, you know, if you like. I don't want to use that word normal and abnormal, but you know, but that's how it is. So to them, it is very empowering. You see? So yes, we start off individually, move into group, then into inclusive.
How do you keep the learning fun for children?
Okay. we try to include playtime, games, and we have different tools that we use to help. Like bosu balls and those what you call trampoline and stuff like that. Yes.
Well, the key thing is to be creative. Children learn differently, but most of them are visual learners, and you know, you learn through auditory or visual or kinesthetic means and all that. So we sit down and we have to individualize every single session to make sure what, how best to reach out and make the child understand and follow. So we use, like as Eric mentioned, we use tools, equipments, and play equipment sometimes, and play exercises to make it fun. Otherwise, it becomes routine and a chore and all that. You know, so drills can be boring. You know, but it is necessary because it helps build movements into your muscle memory. But try to make it a bit more fun, and you do that creatively, with a lot of patience, a lot of dedication and commitment. You know, it's not easy. Yeah,
yeah. How do you control the aggression that some children might be feeling alongside the... You know, martial arts is not inherently confrontational, but you do have fights, you do have you do have combats and things like that. How do you kind of...
Outburst and all that.
Yes, exactly. So how do you kind of encourage discipline alongside... you know, that control of aggression.
Okay. You use psychology. That's important. You see, once the child or the student enjoys the training and he finds he's discovering himself, he's discovering his strength and all that, and you indoctrinate slowly into his mind, into his psyche, that, look, you want to continue training, you want us to continue teaching you, you must learn self-control. It's stated very clearly on the tenets of Taekwondo, which is put up very a huge board on our, in our center, and we get them to recite. We keep, after every class, we keep telling them and telling them over and over, do not practice on your family, your parents, your mother, your brother, your sister, your friends.
Your pets.
Your pets. Or, and if you do that, and if I hear that you do that, then I do not want to teach you anymore. And they say, no, they don't want that. They want to keep coming for class. So they learn control, although it's not easy, but eventually they learn control and they learn to calm down and what do you call this? And other psychological methods that we try to incorporate into our training routine. Yes.
I think if you go to an average martial arts, and this is me, you know, basing it slightly on experience but also on guesswork, I'm assuming if you walk into any given dojo or center that the ratio of men to women or boys to girls is going to be skewed in the direction of the boys. Is that something that you also see?
I think yes.
I think there is this perception or worry that, you know, martial arts is a thing for boys.
It's rough and tumble.
And not for girls. But, you know, we again, let me cite an example. We've got a young child, a 7-year-old child with global developmental delay. She's a girl, you know, and she can be as tough and as rough as the boys, you know. You know, it takes about 3 instructors to just handle her one session, you know. We try to reach out and find what interests her and try to get her to follow the routine and all that. And I think slowly we're getting there. You know, it's not easy, but we're getting there. And I would like to see more women or girl students. We do have a few parents who are progressive and we think that, look, I need my children to go for this exercise therapy and all that because it helps them to calm down. But yes, you're right, the ratio is still very much more boys to girls.
To think of it, yes.
But there's no reason for it to be that way.
No, there's none whatsoever. You know. So like I said, martial arts therapy is not aggressive, it is not violent, it's not hostile. We don't teach your child to have biceps and chest, shoulders, and then to climb trees and be like boys.
How do you judge whether the children are making progress or benefiting?
Okay, right. I'll take that again. Every step of the way, there will be discussions between the instructors, basically Mr. Eric, I, and of course Puan Yati, and the assistant instructors, and the parents. We will monitor. And if the child is ready to go to the next level, then we will. But at the end of the day, I will have veto say in this matter because I'm the chief instructor and the master in the center. So if I think the child is not ready, then no. But if he is, and everybody collectively agrees, then we'll progress onwards. But every now and then, we will put the child through a grading test. Now, this is quite stressful, you know, for the child, but they enjoy it, I think, you know, because it puts them at a different level where they are able to achieve or accomplish something. That grading test will invite a master, an instructor from outside to come, put the child through certain exercises and routines, and if they achieve that, then they will be upgraded and given a belt. All right, they go to the normal belting system, and they'll be given a certificate, which is issued by the Malaysian International Taekwondo Federation, and the certificate is endorsed by the Ministry of Youth and Sports and Ministry of Education. So for the child, say for example, a child with microcephaly or Down syndrome, he gets a belt after the grading, and he gets a certificate, and that means the world to him. It really does. He goes back, and he wants to bring that certificate and show to the whole world, and you know, and he gets all motivated, and it's really, really a moving, touching experience. And we tell them after the grading, go and hug your parents and say thank you to your parents. And it's a community thing. You see? So, yes, we judging and progress is all a collective matter. It's not arbitrary in a sense.
Raising a special needs child, I mean, whenever I speak to parents or speak to therapists, I think there's no denying that raising a special needs child, especially in our country where there isn't the best support system, can be very costly, especially with schools and then additional forms of therapy. Is martial arts therapy economically accessible to most people? Can people afford to send their kids to you?
I think you have to take this. Okay, all right.
We try to make it affordable, okay? Raising a child with special needs is not cheap in this country.
Nor is it easy. Yeah.
I have a special needs child. I'm a parent of a special needs child. He's got autism and ADHD. He's now 14, 15. And we spend a bomb every month with different therapies, speech therapy, occupational therapy, many, many different therapies. So it's not cheap, right? So but we want to try to make it affordable. But at the same time, you know, for an individual session, it is 1 hour with two instructors or three instructors to one child with our center, with the facilities and all that. So it might not be that cheap. But we try to keep our fees about the same level as most other therapies or even slightly lower. All right. But at the same time, we will encourage to put the child in a group environment where it is very affordable, I think. Our fees for a group session is very affordable. It's only if the child is really low functioning, then the child is sent to an individual setting. But otherwise, the child will go into a group setting, and that makes it affordable. And we are also in the process of talking to some corporate sponsors who might be able to sponsor, say, for example, a day where the children who come in there get subsidized fees or maybe even free training, you know. But to be fair, we are trying our really level best to make it more accessible and affordable to most parents. You know, I know the constraints and the demands because, like I said, I am myself a parent of a special needs child, so I totally understand that.
Are there plans right now to collaborate with schools or with other organizations to promote the use of martial arts therapy?
Yeah, we do that, yeah.
Yes, we are doing one. A program once a month at the secondary school over at Bandar Manjalara. Yes, and hopefully in future, perhaps.
Yeah, we do. We try to put that into our program. You know, it's not easy because we're so tight. But we do that once a month in a secondary school in Manjalara, free of charge for all the special needs children. There are about 50 or 60 of them, and we conduct martial arts therapy there. And we're trying to widen our scope to more schools, yes, as part of our corporate social responsibility program, if you like. Yeah, you know, we want to do some charity because, you know, at our age, you know, we don't have much time left.
Don't say that. Okay, to close off, from your experience working closely with special needs children, you know, having done this for a while, what can you share about discovering potential among children who are differently abled, who do have different expectations and different needs?
I'm sorry, how do you mean?
What can you share about discovering potential, you know, about being able to uncover the fact that these children have, you know, so much potential, rich inner lives?
They do. Each one of them is different. You know, each one of them have got their different strengths. Although, you know, they are surrounded by restriction. It's like as though you're being shackled, you know, by these limitations and restrictions. Yeah. And you just need to teach them or show them or guide, if you like, them to a way where they can break free of that and release. So by providing the right environment and the setting for them to grow and explore themselves and discover their inner strengths, then you will slowly see some really unique characteristics and unique strengths coming out. And and that would help the parents also to discover which direction the child, you know, is most suitable to go, you know, to progress after this, outside the martial arts circle. Yeah, and I think we have seen that happening. We have seen, like, for example, some students like Afif and a few others, Choi Yuan and all that, they have discovered interest in other areas as a result of the martial art training. They're more focused, they're able to do other tasks and learn other skills. Yeah.
Thank you both very much for coming in today.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah. We've been discussing martial arts therapy for special needs children or for differently abled children. Joining me in the studio have been martial arts instructors Khaldun Reza and Eric Koo. You've been listening today to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.